May I welcome you all in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I hope you have all had a good week, and I want to welcome you to join me as we worship God together through this service of the fourth Sunday after Trinity. God is good, God is merciful, God is kind, and today we'll be reflecting on the theme of new beginnings, especially as we consider the fact that we are now getting in through the easing of lockdown. And so we are seeing this as a new beginning in some way or another. And so as we begin, let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, may we be glad when it is said to us, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Let it be our delight, as well as our duty, to worship you in the fellowship of the church. And so we pray that you may prepare us in mind and spirit for our worship, and tune our hearts to sing your praise. May we receive all that you have to give to us, and offer all that you require of us. And may our lives, as well as our lips, glorify you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our first hymn is "For the Beauty of the Earth." Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, The Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness and keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now for the glory. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy upon us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Our collect for today is the collect for the fourth Sunday after Trinity. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal, and that we lose not our hold on things eternal. Grant this, Heavenly Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now for our Old Testament reading, which comes from Genesis chapter 24, verses 34 to 38, and then verses 42 to 49, and then verses 58 to the end. Verses 34 to 38. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. My master's wife, Sarah, has borne him a son in her old age, and he has given him everything he owns. And my master made me swear an oath and said, you must not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I live, but go to my father's family and to my own clan and get a wife for my son. And now we skip to verses 42 to 49. When I came to the spring today, I said, Lord, God of my master Abraham, if you will, please grant me success to the journey on which I have come. See, I am standing beside this spring. If a young woman comes out to draw water and I say to her, please let me drink a little water from your jar. And if she says to me, drink, and I'll draw water for your camels too. Let her be the one the Lord has chosen for my master's son. Before I finished praying in my heart, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. She went down to the spring and drew water. And I said to her, "Give me a drink, please." She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, "Drink, and I'll water your camels too." So I drank, and she watered the camels also. I asked her, "Whose daughter are you?" She said, "The daughter of Bethuel, son of Nahor, whom Milcah bore to him." Then I put the ring in her nose and the bracelet in her arms, and I bowed down and worshipped the Lord. I praised the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me on the right road to get the granddaughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will show kindness and faithfulness to my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, so I may know which way to turn. And finally, verses 58 to the end. So they called Rebecca and asked her, "Will you go with this man?" "I will go," she said. So they sent their sister Rebecca on her way, along with her nurse and Abraham's servants and his men. And they blessed Rebecca and said to her, "Our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the cities of their enemies." Then Rebecca and her attendants got ready and mounted the camels and went back with the man. So the servant took Rebecca and left. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahai-Roi, for he was living in the Negev. He went out to the field one evening to meditate, and as he looked up, he saw camels approaching. Rebecca also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, "Who is that man in the field coming to meet us?" "He is my master," the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebecca. So she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading comes from Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 25. "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who did it, but it is the sin living in me who did it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me, for in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our next hymn is "Lord of All Hopefulness."
Thank you. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew 11, verses 16 to 19, and then 25 to the end.
Glory to you, O Lord.
To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We played a pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. And then 25. At that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you are pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Our theme for today, the sermon, is New Beginnings, and that is based on our three readings from Genesis, from Romans, and from Matthew. New beginnings are always a challenge, and this is because we are not sure as to how things will actually unfold. New beginnings, therefore, can constitute excitement or fear or doubt or frustration or hope or despair or joy or grief or hesitation, and many such emotions and feelings, depending on what the new beginning is all about. For example, some of those emotions and feelings have been evident around us as we think of restarting following the lockdown and the devastating effects of the lockdown and COVID-19. Workplaces have had to be closed, jobs paused and in some cases lost, schools closed, weddings and baptisms have either been postponed or cancelled, churches locked, businesses closed, holidays cancelled, and the list goes on. This has ended up affecting every part of people's lives and relationships. Therefore, this is seen as a new beginning for each and every one of us. And the question is, how and when do we begin? Our readings today give us what I call a process of discernment and action as we consider new beginnings. This process begins with planning and preparation, as we see in Genesis, facing reality, as we see in Romans, and to be ready for the difference, as we will see in Matthew. So let us pray. Lord God, in this time as we look at new beginnings, grant us your mercy. Teach us what we do not know. Grant us what we do not have, and make us what we are not, and all for your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So if we begin by looking at Genesis chapter 24, it tells us a story of Abraham looking for a wife for his son Isaac. And under this story, I would like to introduce the first part of facing new beginnings as planning and preparation. Planning and preparations for new beginning. For Abraham and his household, this was a new start for the life of the family, with Isaac expecting a bride and for the family to face something new. Arranged marriage was a common way of a man looking for a wife in those days, not so much today. But this was a new beginning for the family of Abraham and Sarah. And it is with those who plan to get married, they always look to this as a new start for their life in that relationship. But with, as with all other beginnings, planning and preparation was required. Abraham develops a plan of sending his servant to get the bride for Isaac. The first thing he considers in his planning is to consider the circumstances. These are circumstances which Abraham shares with his servant, and together they consider what are the odds and what are the possibilities for carrying on what they are planning to do. In verses 34 to 38, after Abraham has told his servant to go and look for a bride, he considers the circumstances. He says, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle, silver and gold, male and female servants and camels and donkeys. My servant's wife Sarah has borne him a son in her old age, and he has given him everything he owns. And my master has made me swear on oath and said, 'You must not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I live, but go to my father's family and to my own clan and get a wife for my son.'" And so the idea here is not that we have this as a blueprint of what marriage should be, but the idea here is to say that it wasn't taken lightly. They had to plan, they had to discuss, they had to negotiate in order to take the next step, as this was a start of something new for them. Planning and preparation for a new beginning. The reason these things are recorded is to show that this plan of action would include a pragmatic approach to see how things fit in, which includes certain indicators of success or failure. There has to be a way of measuring whether this plan will succeed or not. If this happens, then it indicates positive outcomes, but if it doesn't happen, then it indicates negative outcomes. For example, if we read in Genesis chapter 24, verses 42 to 44, Abraham's servant points out to these indicators by saying, "When I came to the spring today, I said, 'Lord, God of my master Abraham, if you will, please grant success to the journey on which I have come. See, I'm standing beside this spring. If a young woman comes out to draw water and I say to her, "Please, let me drink a little water from your jar," and if she says to me, "Drink, and I'll draw water for your camels too," let her be the one the Lord has chosen for my master's son. So that points the importance of an indicator that you just don't keep trying when you know that this plan won't work. And therefore, Abraham's servant, together with Abraham, they set a plan with clearly marked signals to show that if this happens, then this is a go-ahead. And if it doesn't happen, then this means the plan has failed. So that is within the planning and preparation and setting up indicators of success or failure. These indicators should be at the onset of the planning. But as part of the strategy, prayer should be included. As we see in verse 45a, Abraham's servant says, "Before I finished praying in my heart, Rebecca came out with a jar on her shoulders. She went down to the spring and drew water, and I said to her, "Please give me a drink." So here, prayer seems to be an introduction to the unveiling of those indicators, that here already the servant sees the mark of success and positive outcomes as it was planned between him and Abraham. It is a confirmation of the plan of action. And this is followed by the implementation of the plan in verse 45 to 47. And so here we see, first of all, considering the circumstances, incorporating prayer, and now beginning to implement the plan in verse 45b to 47. Just as Abraham and his servant had agreed, the signs of which will show that this will be the right person, she went down to the spring and drew water and said to her, "Please give me a drink." She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, "Drink, and I'll water your camels too." So I drank, and she watered the camels too. I asked her, "Whose daughter are you?" She said, "The daughter of Bethuel, son of Nahor, whom Milcah bore for him." Then I put the ring in her nose and the bracelets on her arms. So already this is a confirmation that this plan which we had is working out as we had predicted. So the new beginning is gradually setting in, and the indicators are showing that this is the right path. God has been involved. Prayer has been included in discerning this stage of the new beginning. Prayer does not stand alone. It is accompanied by praise. Prayer and praise are both part of the plan and the implementation of the plan. Prayer and praise go together always. Praise and thanksgiving is all part of that plan, if at all it is to be successful. And we can certainly see this in verse 48. The servant says, as soon as he put the bracelets and the nose ring, he says, "And I bowed down and worshipped the Lord. I praised the Lord and the God of my master Abraham, who had led me on the right road to get the granddaughter of my master's brother for his son." And so here praise and worship and prayer are all integral to planning, preparing, and taking steps to a new beginning. And in each stage, as this planning and preparation unfolds, it is important that we seek for a blessing from God, that God blesses our plan, God blesses our efforts, God blesses our initiatives, as God confirms and puts his hand of approval on all our plans. But why are all these things important in the way we see the importance of setting indicators and finding ways of which we can find whether God is really into this or not, whether we are doing the right thing or not? I thought Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 25 seemed to be very helpful in reflecting on this. Paul, in this chapter, talks about the inner struggles we face when we are making choices. And this includes choices when we are facing new beginnings. It is not clear whether Paul was talking about his condition before he became a Christian, before meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus, or after he had become a Christian. But one thing I know is that we all face these different challenges in order to make the right choice as we plan and make decisions for starting something new. But there is much to learn from what Paul experiences in this chapter. During the planning and preparation, we must remember that we are people who are made up of cognitive faculties of thinking, of feeling, of perception, of judgment and conscious and language. All these things work within us. We think, we reflect, we feel, we make judgments, and we are conscious. We use words. But also, we have parts of us which are non-cognitive, such as emotions. Sometimes we are overwhelmed with fear or with anger, or we can be overwhelmed with a sense of love or joy, and so on. And they all work within us at some point or another. This can be a very important part when we plan and prepare, and this can be done either personally or experienced personally or collectively. And both these cognitive and non-cognitive parts of us sometimes clash. And this is how we face the reality when we plan and make decisions. As Paul says in Romans 7, verse 15 onwards, he says, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living within me." And so sometimes reality shows us that we do things either unintentionally or intentionally, which contradict within ourselves. And so when we are planning and starting new beginnings, we have to be aware of those conflicting issues which come before us. What we are trying to achieve is something good at the end. And so when we look at the Genesis reading, the importance of putting up those indicators will help us to formulate guidelines which will help us to realize where we are going, when we should go, and how we should go about doing it. And as we see with Paul's experience, this can be part of the frustration, the fear, and the uncertainty which we face. However, that does not mean we should stop trying. Earlier, when looking at the planning and preparations, I mentioned prayer and worship, which gives us another dimension, and that is the spiritual dimension. It is this dimension which Paul directs here, which guides us towards God, as we can see in verse 14 of Romans 7. Which is outside our reading of today, since our reading starts with verse 15. But in verse 14, Paul says, "We know that the law is spiritual." Why does Paul say this? He wants to recognize the spiritual dimension of our humanity and to show that even the law came in a way of revealing what is right and what is wrong. And in the things we do, there are things which are right, and there are things which are wrong. And in the planning and decision-making and in the preparation of beginning something new, there's always the choice between what is the right one and what is the wrong way of going about it, and what are the correct outcomes and what are the wrong outcomes. The rules of life are ingrained in us in the way that we know what is right and what is wrong. And when it comes to the unfolding of our plans and preparations, there are tough decisions which need to be made, which can raise contradictions, but we need not panic, as Paul says in verses 24 and 25. He begins by being sorry for the human condition, which he called wretchedness. He says, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" It shows that our humanity is limited, and there are always these contradictions which will come along. But in verse 25, he gives the solution. Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so by keeping prayer, praise, worship, hand in hand with our planning, with our preparations, with our consideration of circumstances, God will show the way forward. Just as Abraham and his servant involved God and saw the unfolding of those plans, and here with Paul, even recognizing his inability to do things, to achieve the fullness of his humanity, the potential of his humanity, he sees the only solution is thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the final stage of entering into this new beginning, we see in Matthew 11, our gospel reading, which I called Be Ready for a Difference, to be ready for a difference. In new beginnings, we need to be prepared to face the difference when needed, because new may mean different. Jesus here is entering into the scene of the story in Matthew 11, following the imprisonment of John the Baptist. He's telling people that he indeed has arrived as the expected Messiah and was therefore introducing something new. There is a new beginning to which people are being called to join, yet people are holding back in making that radical decision to join in. In Matthew 11, and verses 16 and 17, Jesus says, "To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, 'We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang the dirge, and you did not mourn.'" To be ready for a difference. In these verses, Jesus is using an analogy of frustrated children sitting waiting for others to play. But he's also using an analogy of two community events, which are a wedding, dance, and a funeral. The dilemma which Jesus is showing on the people is whether they should choose John the Baptist or Jesus. John the Baptist was teetotal, he didn't drink alcohol or anything, where Jesus was a party person. And both these approaches were unpopular to the Pharisees and the scribes, just because they were different. And people didn't want to face the difference. So in verse 25 to the end, just as Abraham had pointed out to God in Genesis 24, 40 to 41, when he says, "The Lord, before whom I have walked faithfully, will send his angel with you and make your journey a success." And Paul in Romans 7, 25, when he acclaims, "Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord," so did Jesus now. In Matthew 11, 25 to 26, he says, "At that time Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do.'" So God has an open call to guide our plans facing reality, preparing for change, as we see in Matthew 11, 28. Jesus is calling, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." New beginnings are inevitable. We need to keep planning, keep preparing, and face the reality to be ready for a difference. In all this, our three readings remind us to involve God. Let us pray for our schools, for our businesses, for our marketplaces, for our organizations, those in government, and in every part of society, that as we plan for the new beginnings and prepare, let us face the reality and be ready and prepared for any difference, if that will be needed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us say together the Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And for our intercessions, let us pray. In the power of the Holy Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promise through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. Strengthen Graham, our Bishop, Alan and Jonathan, and all the Church in the service of Christ. We pray also for our archbishops and all bishops of each diocese, that those who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. We also pray for all clergy, lay readers, archdeacons, and all those who serve in our parishes. We thank you, Lord, for all the service we receive, and for all the support from our church wardens, and many people who take part in different activities. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Bless and guide Elizabeth, our Queen, give wisdom to all in authority, and direct this and every nation in the ways of justice and of peace, that we may honor one another and seek the common good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Give grace to us, our families and friends, and to all our neighbors, that we may serve Christ in one another and love as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. And in this time of silence, let us pray for all those who are sick. We pray for Robin, for Jill, and for Molly. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them to the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Hear us as we remember those who have died in the faith of Christ. And especially we pray for the family of Jerry Allen and of Jill Davison, and others known to us, according to your promises, and grant us with them a share in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Rejoicing in the fellowship of St. Thomas and all the saints, we commend ourselves and the whole creation to your unfailing love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And today, Sunday the 5th, for our diocesan prayer calendar, we pray for St. Helen, Norwich, and clergy Eleanor Lagan. Keep us, good Lord, under the shadow of your mercy. Sustain and support the anxious. Be with those who care for the sick, and lift up all who are brought low, that we may find comfort in knowing that nothing can separate us from your love, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray for the United Church of Pakistan, for Humphrey Peters, Bishop of Peshawar, and moderator of the Church of Pakistan. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And in our team, we pray for a good response to today online service, Heather preaching, Epic, Each Person in Christ. Youth group continues to meet online each Sunday evening. This month, we pray for them all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. Let us offer one another a sign of peace. Our next hymn is A New Commandment I Give Unto You. With you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Almighty God, good Father to us all, your face is turned towards your world. In love you gave us Jesus, your Son, to rescue us from sin and death. Your word goes out to call us home to the city where angels sing your praise. We join with them in heaven's song. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your holy people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever and ever. Amen. As our Savior taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. And let us say together the prayer of humility. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which is shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith with thanksgiving. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. During communion, we can also listen to background music. Let us pray. Eternal God, comfort of the afflicted and healer of the broken, you have fed us at the table of life and hope. Teach us the ways of gentleness and peace, that all the world may acknowledge the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our final hymn is How Great Thou Art. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Thank you very much for joining in the worship for today, and I hope that God will bless us all this coming week. And next week, Sunday, is the Seafarers' Sunday, the Sunday to remember those at sea. And so may God bless us all And as our Lord Jesus Christ said, as the Father sent me, even so I send you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.